Hey, this is Jimbo for Two Shots on a Barrel, and I'm hanging out with my buddy, J-Bo.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, listen, I figured it was time that we tell everybody how much we appreciate you guys listening to Two Shots on a Barrel. We would appreciate also, J-Bo, if they would go out and review the show. Give us some good constructive criticism. But honestly, J-Bo, we like 5 stars and just really good comments.
That's right. And if you could avoid doing it when you're really drunk, that would be a very helpful situation. You left a review for me on a page, and obviously you were 10 past where you should have been leaving that review. But yeah, just even if you have to lie, talk good about us, please.
Absolutely. We're available on all kinds of podcast platforms, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, we are out there. The other thing, J-Bo, is we would love to hear from you. If you know somebody that would love to be on the show, you can always reach out to us, J-Bo. Tell them how.
That's right. We have an email, and we've had it for about a year now, but we keep forgetting to tell you we have it. It's twoshotspodcastshow@gmail.com. That's the number two, twoshotspodcastshow@gmail.com. Please send us an email.
And I think the cool thing to tell everybody too, J-Bo, is we're very active out on social media. We've got a Two Shots on a Barrel group page on Facebook. You're also a TikTok guy. I didn't realize you were a TikTok guy, but we actually do TikTok, Instagram, and all kinds of
things. Yeah, we're on everything. We're not really really good at it, but we're on there. So get on there, laugh at our TikToks, and I'm sure I'll get Jim on a TikTok here before long.
All it takes is for one to go viral, J-Bo, and it's as crazy stupid as you are, it's probably going to happen.
It's going to happen. Either I'm going to get frostbit doing these TikToks, or we're going to have one go viral. So
we're excited about Two Shots. We are broadcasting out of our studios here in Main Street, Bourbon Country. It's a state-of-the-art studios where we're going to have many, many guests and many, many shows for you to listen to.
That's right. We're right here in the Pearl of Lebanon. Lebanon Health and Fitness in downtown Lebanon, Kentucky, just sideways of Rigetti's Restaurant.
Make sure when you are on the Bourbon Trail, if you're staying in Marion County in Lebanon, make sure you come by. They have a state-of-the-art fitness center. It's really a all-inclusive center for whether you're men, women. They've got a place that your kids, if you're coming in for the Bourbon Trail with your kids, I have no reason to understand why you would be doing that. But in case you are, they can do it all right here at Lebanon Health and Fitness.
If you're only going to be here a day, they have $7 one-day fees to come in and work out all day long.
Yeah, so
can't beat it.
Anyways, with that said, we appreciate you listening to our shows, and without further ado, it's Two Shots on a Barrel.
Two old boys ain't much for working. Two shots on a barrel, and they're talking about bourbon. Talking about a few other things that they don't know. If you've got a question, no need to ask. They don't have a clue, so raise your glass. Take a sip with the Bold Brothers. Now it's on with the show. From the heart of Central Kentucky, the bourbon capital of the world, it's Two Shots on a Barrel with your host, a couple of hot shots of their own, the Bold Brothers.
What's up, everybody? Good to be back in the studio. What are you laughing about?
What's going on, mister? I about knocked the mic off the table.
It's
That's awesome,
hat, man.
That's great.
It's, you know, it's
a good start there, buddy.
It's good to be back in the Two Shot studio. We've got a... it's going to be a fun show today. I was really looking forward to this. I got to be honest with you, though. I about screwed it up from the start.
You did, actually, screw things up for us right off the bat there. But it looks like you've recovered nicely.
Yeah.
And took care of business and landed some legends here today.
I mean, it's not every day when you're trying to set up a show that you call a guy and he's at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. So without further ado, J-Bo, let's introduce
you
our guest.
You go right ahead.
All right. First of all, welcome Clarence Spalding to the show. It is great to have you. You brought along your celebrity friend, John Quincy Thomas.
I don't go anywhere without
him. It's good to have you guys back,
thank you
though.
For having me.
I know you. I know you're a busy guy, and honestly, we appreciate. I should say this, Quincy. You guys go way back, and so Clarence, I've done Quincy a few favors over the years. Quincy, I'm one of his go-to guys. He's a big Reds guy, and so when Quincy's wanting to take the family to see the Reds, he'll usually call me and say, "Hey, Jim, you still got that connection for the Reds?" I said, "Absolutely, Quincy. Let me get you some seats." So he owed me one. I called out that favor, and he came through big time in bringing you to town to do two shots.
Yeah, this is really going to cost you this one. this one's going to be big.
Yeah, yeah.
Club seats next time.
Yeah, buddy. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I may have to get the chauffeur and drive his ass up there, and they'll tell him what. But anyways, no. Seriously, we appreciate Quincy your bridge in bringing Clarence back home, because Clarence, this is home. You know, regardless of where you are, all over the country, Lebanon is home for you.
Yeah, I mean, my mom still lives here. I have two brothers live here, nieces, nephews. I mean, you know, lots of friends like John still live here. I mean, I love coming back.
Yeah, yeah. What is it about Lebanon? You know, Lebanon has changed so much from when you were running around back in the day. But what is it about Lebanon, in your opinion, that still makes it special?
Well, I mean, you know, it's home. And so, you know, I have, you know, so many memories of living here and, you know, growing up here, and, you know, still keep in touch with lots of friends who, you know, are from here. They're my oldest, closest friends in the world. So we share a lot of memories, a lot of stories. And,
yeah,
you know, I had a great time growing up here.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So growing up, you know, when you think and you see some of the things about Clarence, and I'm curious, Quincy, your connection, the story that kind of brought you two guys together, because you kind of told me that you and Clarence were good friends for a long time.
We sure have.
And kind of that connection that brought you two guys together.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, the first time I ever met Clarence. And I remember me going to a public school. We didn't have religion class. I went to Calvary Elementary. It was ran by nuns, but it was not a Catholic school. So I had to go to catechism, they called it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I guess Jane was a catechism teacher when I got to be like in the eighth grade or freshman at her house.
She's trying to buy her way into heaven.
I never thought it was that way, but I think that's one of the first times I remember. I'd heard of him. He went to St. Augustine, like most of my friends did. I grew up right in town, but even that being said, I went to Calvary School. But a lot of my friends went to St. Augustine, and that's where I think the originally met Clarence.
So Clarence was a pretty cool cat from the get-go,
cool,
right?
Yeah, that was him. I always heard he was the funniest guy that ever was. Well, it didn't take long for me to find out that was right. A great guy. We did a lot of things when we were in junior high and high school together, and just a great guy.
So when did you guys graduate? What year? Did you graduate together?
Yeah, yes. 1975.
Okay. 1975.
Yeah.
Feels like it was yesterday.
It does. It's
Where does time go? I mean, honestly.
I don't know.
You know it's amazing. It is crazy. Quincy talked about your mom, Jane, and, of course, your dad, Aaron. The thing I remember about Aaron is, you know, you would see him at ball games. He was the deputy sheriff. He was, to me, as I see him, he was like this cool, calm, collected dude. Every time you see him, he never seemed like he was rattled. Jane, every time that I had an opportunity to be around your mom, she was Miss Personality.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, they were like frickin' frack. they really were. You know, my dad worked at, he grew up out on Bradfordsville Highway. And they farmed. There was nine of them.
Wow!
So, you know,
big Catholic family, right?
Yeah, he went to Caney Creek. Out there on one room schoolhouse, and that was the old home place. And you know, he told the stories about walking to school with potatoes in his potatoes in his pockets. You know, I hear all those stories, and my mom would look at me and say, "Don't laugh, they're true." So, I remember one time we said something about getting a bicycle. I can't even remember what it was, and my dad had this dry sense of humor. He said, "Bicycle? hell, didn't get a bicycle till I was 22. and you know, I grew up, he worked at General Electric. He got up at, you know, went to work at 4:30 every morning. There was a slew of them from around here that worked at GE, and so they all carpooled, and he came home in the afternoons, and he had a big old garden, and he worked in the garden, and, you know, he was there for, you know, anything we did. You know, it was four boys, so there was plenty of action going on all the time around our house. And
one of the things I remember growing up around the Spalding boys was, I tell you what, Aaron and Jane raised those boys to work. They had a paper route. And did you all do the morning or the afternoon?
We did the afternoon. We did the Louisville Times, and then we did the and everybody did Sunday. So Louisville Times and the Courier-Journal were owned by the same company. So it's just, you know, so some kids had the morning route and some had the afternoon route. And
I can remember leaving Club 68 after we had our license. We were 16, and I remember one time in particular, you all would pick your papers up down on Water Street.
At the old depot.
Yeah, and we went down there. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. Clarence said, I think I'll just deliver papers now. And we went down there and picked his papers up, and we went around in the car after leaving the Club 68. You can imagine how we were.
Did you say you're leaving Club 68 at age 16? Does that happen?
We left Club 68 a little younger than that.
What I was going to say. You know, he's forgetting to tell you. He was probably down there when he was 9 years old.
I remember the first time we went in there. I heard somebody say, well, here comes the teen club. But the only reason, the only reason we got to go in there was because Salem George Jr.
Okay.
got us going in, and there wasn't any drinking going on then, for real. I mean, we were on our best behavior, because it was like we finally got to get in, because, you know, it was such a big deal to go down there and hear live music, and we weren't about to screw it up.
Yeah,
you know, we waited a year or two before we really started screwing it up, before we got brave enough to do anything.
So was Club 68 your first introduction to live music?
Really? I mean, other than, you know, back in when we were freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, when there were dances all the time. I mean, there was dances in Marion County and in the cafeteria at Lebanon Junior High in the gym, and they would bring in bands from Louisville.
Really?
I mean, it was, and then we would go when we started getting our driver's license, and, you know, then you're meeting kids from Loretta and, you know, all the other, so they had, at their junior high, they would have dances. So if it wasn't, so we'd drive down there, and, you know, we were meeting just different kids from all over the county, and, you know, it was such a fun time. I mean, you know, I look back on that, and I never played music. I mean, right now I can probably do 15 chords on a guitar, but couldn't put them together to make a song.
Right.
I mean, I know just enough about it.
You and I have a lot in common in that regard.
Yeah, but the business of music, and I didn't even realize it was the business of music. I was just interested in how did the band get here, and who booked them, and what was booking, and, you know. So there's a guy named David Snowden, and he owns a company in Louisville called Triangle Talent. Mm-hmm. And I met David when he was booking 68 in the Horseshoe through my Doug Quinn. So Doug is from Lebanon. Doug ran 68 for Hyaleem.
Okay.
So that's how, once I got there, Doug's 5 years older than I am, but we just became friends, and, you know, I was helping him and another friend of mine, Tommy Nally, we called him Noodle, and we swept the floors. I mean, we cleaned up puke, anything there was to do, we were doing it to be around that part of it. And Doug would take me, he would run the club, and then they would, I mean, think about this. We're talking social media. He would print like 200 posters. And I had a hammer stapler. And his girlfriend at the time would drive us. We'd go to Greensburg, Columbia, Camelsville, Springfield, all do this big circle. And I would jump out with posters underneath my arm. And
So you were how old then?
I was probably 17. Yeah. I was probably a junior, senior in high school. I had done my time doing a paper route, and the governor called and let me go. And I swear to God, I mean, I have hauled hay, hung tobacco, racked pool balls. I've done more shit, and there's not a worse job than a paper route. I'll be in a damn tobacco field or a damn hay field all day before I want to deliver papers.
He came to our place a few times and helped haul hay. Clarence, I know you remember the time we went to Gravel Switch, and there was a fine gentleman up there by the name of Carl Roller, and wanted us to come up and help cut tobacco. Well, me and like 4 or 5 city boys go up there, and I think, well, this is going to be interesting. I'm the only one that knows how to cut tobacco. But he put them guys in the barn, and at the time, I think we were paying like $2 an hour here. And Carl said, I'll give you all $3 an hour. Well, we jumped on that. And I remember we worked 9 hours.
$27.
Each one of us had a check for $27, and we were the happiest guys coming back from Gravel Switch you've ever seen.
I swear to God, this is true. I put that check on a shelf in our den up on St. Rose Road, and I left it there for 2 weeks. And my dad would walk by and he said, son, what are you going to do with this money? I said, I don't know. I worked really damn hard. it's not going to be spent just by me blowing it. I'm going to figure out really what I want to do with that $27.
That's where I was going back to. Aaron and Jane made these guys work. They had paper routes. They cut tobacco. They hauled hay. Like you said, with the music. Down to 68, going around doing that same because they was interested in it. And one thing I remember about Clarence, before I forget it, he was always known as the best dancer in our
really?
House. Oh, yeah.
Really?
You never did know that?
No.
Yeah, we would all, our core of friends would sit back and Clarence could flat out dance.
Was he a ladies' man also?
I better let him answer that.
I don't remember that part of it. Damn sure. I worked my ass off.
But he was the...
I was like everybody else.
He was the best dancer in our class.
Everybody says we went to Club 68 to listen to music. We didn't go to Club 68 to listen to music. No. We went to Club 68 because there's girls.
Exactly.
It's an age-old thing.
That's awesome. One of the things that... You know, in today's time, you can learn a lot about a fella just by going out and do a little research. One of the things that you're, is it fair to say that you're a straight shooter? I mean, quote was, look, I'm not going to smoke up your ass.
I tell everybody, and my clients know this now, but, I'm an acquired taste, I tell them, and they'll laugh, and I go, you shouldn't laugh, because it's the truth, but... In my business, you work on a percentage. And so I work on 15%, and 15% can be a lot of money. And for a lot of money, I think you should be truthful. You know, so my thing is that I want to be truthful. I want to be direct. I never really want – I don't want to be mean-spirited. But, I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you. That cost you 25 because I mean, right. I can't, you know, I just not going to do it. And I don't, I mean, I'm never mean spirited. I've got artists that, you know, make jokes about, you know, if you want to know the truth, ask Clarence. Well, I take that as a compliment because I've had most of my clients, you know, Kix and Ronnie, Brooks and Dunn. I've had, next March will be 30 years.
Yeah,
so I've had Terry Clark for 20, Jason for 12, Rascal Flatts for 11. Reba's my least long artist, and that's 5 years. But you know, we've known each other 30 some.
Wow.
So moving that back a few years, is there? And I'll throw this out to Quincy too. Has Clarence? That's a part of his DNA. I mean, as you far know, as the straight shooter type of dude.
Yeah, he hadn't changed. You know, from the time we were kids at Lebanon Junior High to now.
Yeah.
He hadn't changed.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't know, I would. You know, he's just one of us that didn't make it in Nashville.
Right.
But that's just him, and that's the reason why he's a lot of fun to be around. And he hadn't changed one bit.
This is cool.
So I got one question for you. You got this friend that lives in Lebanon, and you're this hotshot guy that's got connections in Nashville. Did you ever get a phone call from that best friend back home saying, "Hey, buddy, do you got any tickets for me?"
I'm blessed, and I know that. And you know, when people call, I love sharing. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll call, but he's like most of my friends. Man, I'm sorry, you know, but I'm blessed, you know, tickets or everybody wants to pay for them, and I'm going, well, I'm getting them free. Do you really want me to charge you $125 each for them? I'll do it. If you really, really want to pay really? For them, but sure. If you don't, you know, take them and, you know. Yeah. Enjoy that's the awesome. Show.
I was always hesitant about calling him about tickets, but I have a couple of times. I didn't want it to seem like that I was using our friendship to get things,
I, you know. Because that's what I can see that.
Yeah. Well, I would be more mad at my friends if they didn't pick up the phone and call me, you know. And sometimes I have friends who want tickets for other people, and I'm like, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to send you a form, and you can give it to your friend, and they're going to get good seats, but they're going to pay for them. And
right,
but you know, if it's for you, I'll take care of you. But if it's not for you, and sometimes you know, people call and I go, I don't have them.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
They want them for, you know, the damnedest things. Right. Some act that I don't manage that I have no connection to. Well, I'm not going there.
We're heading to our. To our first break, but I got to tell you, in keeping it with the theme of this is the same guy, Clarence the same. I think that's what you said, Quincy. You said when I was asking you, hey, do you think Clarence would want to be on the show? And you reached out to him, and he said, yeah, Clarence is receptive. And he said, here's his number. He may not answer, but I guarantee he's going to call you back. That tells you what kind of real dude you are. So, yeah, that's cool. That's good stuff. Hey, stick around. We got more Two Shots on the way with Clarence Spaulding and John Quincy Thomas. All right, so J-Bo, I found out the older you get, the more kids, as your kids grow older, you suddenly have a damn fleet of vehicles.
and the both of us, man, we can tell you all about it. We both have brand new 16-year-olds hitting the road. So let me tell you how often we're visiting big old tires these days.
And it's important when you got your 16-year-old out on the road, you have good tires.
Oh, absolutely.
And the place to go, we know, is Big Old Tires of Lebanon and Barstown.
That's right. Billy Taft has been doing this a long, long time. If you want advice on getting the perfect tire for the perfect vehicle, go to Billy Taft first at Big Old Tire.
And not only can they supply you with some great tires, they also can do oil changes, brake work, you name it. And here's the cool thing that really impressed me when I visited Billy Taft and Big Old Tires the last time. That dude is customer service extraordinaire.
Absolutely. He's been like that as long as I've known him. I've known him a long time. He's a great guy. Just like off the court than he is on the court. He's just A+, and I love that dude. He's really, really genuine, and he knows his tires. And if you're having problems, let's say this weather's crazy, okay? It's raining a bunch. Go in there and let him put new windshield wipers on your car besides going and trying to do it yourself. I'm speaking by experience here, Jim Reed. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do, putting wipers on yourself.
Big believer in Big Old Tires of Lebanon and Barstown, right here in the heart of bourbon country. If you're in for the bourbon trail, your car kind of messes up on you, go see our friend Billy Taft.
Pit stop. It's all it is. Pit stop. You're in and out and off to the next distillery.
There you go. Big Old Tires of Lebanon and Barstown, a proud sponsor of Two Shots on a Barrel.
All right, so one thing we've learned on Two Shots is it's important to know where to go when you need a good attorney general.
Yes, sir. It's very important nowadays. We've had to get one of our own here lately, and we got the best in the business.
We absolutely do, and we found out one morning when you go visit Don McCauley, you better enjoy bourbon and stick around for a while. Because not only is she very good and an expert attorney, she also knows her bourbon.
She does know her bourbon, and she knows where to get it, and she will not tell me where the secret stash is located. But that's okay.
But she'll bring out many of the unicorns that she has in her house, and we enjoyed spending time with her. But on a serious note, we know that folks listening out there need to have good legal representation. Don McCauley.
Don McCauley, you are right. 144 West Main Street in Lebanon, Kentucky. Her phone number is 270-692-0684. If it's legal anything, she will take care of it. She will be there for you, and she will be the voice that you need to get through this situation.
We're talking real estate law. We're talking business law. We're talking anything criminal related, divorce, you name it, bankruptcy, any of those things, Don McCauley can take care of you.
If you're nervous and you just don't know which way to go, if you need that voice, call Don McCauley. Once again, 270-692-0684.
Yeah, good stuff right here in Bourbon Country. Don McCauley, Law Office of Don McCauley. Thanks.
Marion County Trail could be the best value in bourbon-themed travel in Kentucky. You'll experience one of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail's crown jewels, one of the Bourbon Trail Craft Tour's top-rated stops, and something you can't find anywhere else. Organized tours of a bourbon barrel manufacturing facility, all in one place. It's the Marion County Trail. Take your time to tour, dine, shop, and stay all along the way. Explore world-famous Maker's Mark, a hot ticket item on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Limestone Branch Distillery, home of world-famous Yellowstone Bourbon, and one of the top-rated stops on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail Craft Tour. Kentucky Cooperage, the sprawling plant where the thriving bourbon industry's barrels are hand-built and seared with fire for bourbon-aging flavor. And Lebanon, home of wonderful dining opportunities from home-cooked to chef-driven. Unique shopping opportunities, nowhere else to be found murals for your selfies, and overnight accommodations that range from traditional to bed and breakfast to bourbon-themed. Go to visitlebanonky.com for more details. Lebanon Tourist and Convention Commission, 270-692-0021.
Tired of paying rent? Do you dream of owning your own home? Now is the time to make that dream a reality. Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Have you outgrown your current home? Need more space? Or just the opposite? Are you looking to downsize? Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Whether buying or selling, now is the time. Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Lisa Kearns Realtor, Exit Realty Bluegrass, 270-402-4036. Call or text Lisa Kearns, the helpful agent.
Hey, the Bow Brothers are back in action, and we could not do it without our good buddy Terry Woolley. And what a comeback Terry Woolley is making, J-Bo.
Hey, the little birdie told me he has a new CD coming out very soon, possibly a Christmas album, possibly a religious album. I hope he does both.
Absolutely, and right now he's got so many great songs out there. You can check them all out on Spotify, iTunes, you name it. You can go and get all of the music from Terry Woolley, or you can go to his website. That is terrywoolley.com. He's a great friend of Two Shots on a Barrel. We love that guy. Go check him out today.
That's right, it's terrywoolley.com.
Didn't take me long, couple years or so, decided to make a brand new...
I don't know, man. There needs to be, like, the capability of getting the video. Like, we could promote, like, what happens during the breaks.
Yeah, the breaks are great.
The conversations during the breaks are as classic as the conversations during the show. You know? I mean, seriously.
I thought we were still doing the show.
We're hanging out with Clarence Spaulding, John Quincy Thomas. It's Two Shots on a Barrel. I'm having a lot of fun, J-Bo. Man, this is good stuff. This is like going down memory lane. I mean, really. You talk about... Club 68, Club Cherry. We were talking on the break about Paper Boys. The story goes that's kind of maybe how you initially got your feel for music. I mean, the story, you were a Club Cherry or something another, and some guy says, come in here and take a listen to this.
Yeah, it was.
What was that?
Well, it was Obie Slater.
I love Obie Slater.
Mm-hmm. And we used to deliver the paper and put his paper on the bar. And I was in there, and it was Ike and Tina Turner. But I don't know Ike and Tina Turner, okay? I'm 9 or 10, whatever. Right. I don't know Ike and Tina Turner from anybody. And they were doing a sound check, which I didn't know what a sound check was. You know, yeah. They were in there playing music. And
yeah.
Then, you know, I find out it's Ike and Tina Turner. And, you know, years later, the first album I ever bought was Ike and Tina Turner working together.
Oh,
and
shoot.
So, you know, I don't know that it's, you know, ever one thing that gets you going down a path of, you know, what I do especially. But, you know, I always think if you want to be a lawyer or you want to be a doctor, you know, there's a path.
Mm-hmm.
There's a path to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the music business and you come from Lebanon, Kentucky, not only did I not know that I wanted to be in the music business, if I had had that thought when I graduated from high school, I wouldn't have known how to do it. So just one, I mean, I didn't go to University of Kentucky to be in the music business. I went to be an accountant. Why? Hell, I don't know. I just thought accountants made money. But after one semester of accounting, I was like, holy shit, I don't want to do that. When I came back home with a 1.6, I thought, you don't want to be an accountant. You're going to go to prison. That's what's going to happen to you. So, no, but, you know, I just, for some reason, this music thing in Lebanon in 68 and Doug Quinn just kind of stayed with me. We stayed friends, and I would come back home and go to certain, you know, when the Exiles were playing.
Yeah.
You know, not Exile, yeah. The Exiles were playing. We'd all come home, and that's when you saw everybody who had disbanded, you know, and come home. And I had started a little booking agency at the time, and diversified talent, today's talent for today's people.
Clarence, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you've told me this before about one of your first bookings that you did. Was it Cowboy George over at the Nelson County Fairgrounds?
Well, we did the first real booking I did of one of my bands was at one of them was at 68. I mean, these bands I'm booking, they're sorry. I mean, they're terrible. I got nothing, man. I'm telling you. But Donnie Richards and Bernard Veach were at owned the Club 68 at the time.
I remember those names.
And they gave me a break, and they booked my band in there. And I was so damn proud to bring my band in. I couldn't stand it. Well, hell, I had to go up to Daddy's and get extension cords. They didn't have crap. And by the way, we didn't draw anybody. I mean, maybe 50 people. And I'm standing back behind the dance floor, and I'm bowed up a little bit. You know, I'm like, doing pretty damn good. Donnie Richards looked at me and said, you should tell that band to get a good look at this place. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, because it's going to be the last band time it's in. You know, and that just tells you how damn stupid I am, because that didn't put me off at all. I mean, I was like, okay. And so when we got to be, I was probably a junior in college then. I was on a long program in college, so I could junior, sophomore, freshman. They all kind of bleed together with me. But we've had the great idea of doing a festival over to Nelson County Fairgrounds. And me and Doug and my roommate at the time, a guy named Barry Warner, who's from Bloomfield. We were roommates in Lexington, so we decided we were going to do this, and we had Cowboy George and the Beer Drinking Band and the Breeding Bunch and all, you know, we brought in a mechanical bull, and Doug and I, so it rained. It rained. It rained. I was parking cars in a trash bag. And Doug and I were in charge of all the stage. We were in charge of booking the bands. And Barry, Dad, was an insurance agent. And he was in charge of making sure that we had insurance and rain insurance. So we'd hired a meteorologist out of Louisville. If you have X number of tenths of rain, you can get some of your money back. So it rained, and,
wow. You
know, we made a dollar each.
Nice. One,
but prior to that, Mom and Dad came over. You know, they were checking up on me, you know. God, they got this dumbass kid. We need to watch him. I remember Dad said, well, are you going to make any money? I said, no, sir. I said, I think we're going to lose money. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I guess I have to go to the bank and borrow. And Daddy looks at me and goes, and just walks off like, you have got to be kidding me, son. We lucked out and made a dollar each. That was Memorial Day. And just now I'm going to tell you how stupid I am. Labor Day, we came back and did it again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it didn't take 3 months for that to wear off me. And so Doug and I, this time, we didn't have another partner, right? So I don't even know how. He had an old school bus. And Sears was down here, like, where the Huddle House is.
Okay.
It was like three doors up, and they had those big plastic containers that they would ship stuff in, and they'd take them inside and unload them and give them back to the. So we went behind Sears. We stole two of those. Put them in. I'll go to jail. 50 years later, I go to jail for stealing. We took those back, by the way. And so we got the school bus, and we loaded it down. Those things with beer. And Doug and Hyleem had these like Frisch's Big Boy things. You get like a chicken box in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd put three beers in there, and we were selling it out of the back of that thing. So that time, the sun came out. We were making so much damn money. We slept on the bus that night. We got up the next morning, and he and I picked up every damn aluminum can there was in that field. And we sold those aluminum cans. I came home with so much cash in my pocket, probably 99% ones. I had to pull my pants down to get the money out of my pocket.
Awesome.
It was great. I mean, I still got the two T-shirts, one from one and one from the other, in a box downstairs. And every now and then I'll open it up and I go, whew. Made a dollar.
Man, I remember both those events very well.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, this is the stuff, man. You don't. I, in my research, Clarence, I got to be honest, I didn't hear about this.
It's not out there.
You won't find that.
There's a whole bunch of stuff.
There's a whole lot of things you're not going to find in research.
I'm sitting here thinking about all this, and you talk about a show that absolutely you made a buck on a Memorial Day, and then you turn around. And I'm sitting here thinking, damn, you're either stupid or you're the major optimist. Would you? You're not going to say you're stupid. You're going to say,
well,
you're the optimist. I guess
I was a little green, but you know, we just loved it. I mean, part of it's the music business, but the other part of it's business, right? I mean,
sure.
It's marketing, right. And you know, okay, we just got rained on. I mean, we had all of the elements that we needed. We just got rained on.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next time, it didn't rain. And so we came out successful on that. And but, you know, even then, I went from, I think I was working at a liquor store, booking bands. I mean, I'd already given up on diversified talent, which... That was a smart move. that was a smart move there to get rid of that. But I went to work for a guy in Nashville who booked all the show bands. And back in 75 to 80, you know, the fraternities and sororities at the University of Kentucky, U of L, Moorhead, Eastern, you know, they booked show bands. 12-piece, 13-piece, big bands. It had horns. They would have three male singers, three female singers. They would do the Temptations, the Tops, the Supremes. And that's how I would sell it. I would go sit with the entertainment chairman of a fraternity or sorority and go, here's what they're going to do. And that's they would book them and they would go away. I wasn't in a fraternity, but they would go away to Paoli Peaks or somewhere where they had their spring formal or their fall formal.
Yeah.
And so I would, you know, in these bands, you know, they would, you know, they weren't making any money either. So they would be in a van and a U-Haul and they would play and they would drink and play and drink. And then they would do Hey Baby. And so that was part of my sell. They're going to do Hey Baby and let you all sing. And so, in the, you know, they get to that part and it'd be, hey, hey, baby, Alpha Gamma Rho, just one more time. And so John would get up and sing a verse, and this one would get up and sing a verse. Yeah. And the whole band would be sitting off to the side, except the drummer and the bass player. And they'd play. By the time it was over, they were shit-faced drunk. And, you know, and they would. I was living on Versailles Road, and they would call me from the whatever was out on Versailles Road right before you got on Bluegrass Parkway. And they would say, man, we don't have any cash, and they won't cash our check out here. And I'm thinking, no shit, Sherlock. You're going to cash your check out right there. And see, we need some gas money. So I'd have, if I had $10, I mean, I was rich. And I would drive out there and give them my $10.
Yeah.
But one time I booked a band, 13-piece, for the KAs, and they were going to Paoli Peaks. And so about 8 o'clock that night, there's no cell phones. You know, I get a call at my apartment, and it's the KA kid, and he's calling me. He's my age. He says, man, he said, you told me 13 pieces. And I said, yeah, it's 13 pieces. And he goes, there's six. And I'm like, shit, I don't know what to do.
Right.
I said, man, I don't know what to do. I said, can they play? And he goes, yeah, they're playing, but there's only six. And so I said, okay, we'll make it right for you. So the next Monday, I go to Nashville. And the guy's name is Lee Maxey, and I'm sitting in Lee's office. And I'm getting my monies, which is not a lot. And I'm telling him this story. And he said, that's great. I said, great. And he goes, yeah, he's coming in here right now, the leader of the band. He said, Ray. I said, okay. I'm a kid. And so Ray comes in. He goes, Lee goes, hey, man, how was it in Paoli Peaks? He goes, oh, man, it was fine. It was fine. He said, did you give them the whole show? The whole show, Lee. He said, we killed them. He said, all 13 pieces of it? He said, all 13 pieces of it. He said, whatever the kid's name was, called from Paoli and said there was only six of you. And the guy never missed a beat. He said, Lee, I swear to God, I thought there was 13 of us. That's my introduction to the show band business.
Nice.
That's
hilarious.
What was the name of the guy? Was it Ricky Nelson? You was telling me you picked him, one of the very first ones you had, and you picked him up at the airport, and you was going down the road, and your car was smoking, and did it quit or something, or do you remember that?
I don't remember it, but, you know.
Well, maybe I dreamed it.
It wasn't like I was driving nice cars back then. I went from college to, I got a job at Delta Airlines. Because this shows you, I wasn't still in, you know, I had no thinking of I'm going to be in the music business. So I went to work for Delta Airlines. Flew to Atlanta, got the job, and worked there for 6 or 7 months. And there was an air traffic controller strike during the Reagan administration. And Reagan fired every air traffic controller. When they went on strike, he fired them. And when he fired them, I walked into Delta that day, and they were having a meeting of maybe 50 or 60 people. And they said, and the following people no longer have a job here: Clarence Spaulding, Brad Borders, Bob's younger brother, and one other person. So, and I'm not making this up, I went from there to Lane Allen Road Convenient. And it was back when they had the gas booth in the middle, and you would give them $5. And, you know, a lot of people won't remember that, but that's the way they used to do it. And I went from there one day to the gas booth the next.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So they had a – luckily, they had a phone, in there, so I just used it as my office. Yeah. He made phone calls, and these friends of mine that I'd been going to their nightclub out on New Circle Road in Lexington called me and said, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm sitting in my office, you know, pumping gas. I'm in the oil business now. But so they offered me a job to come out and manage this nightclub, and we did every Monday night we did a national act. So we did everybody from Ray Charles to Ricky Nelson to Lee Greenwood. I mean, you name any big act, they were coming through on Monday so I could get them. And they did two shows. We had 375 seats, and we did a 7:30 and a 10 o'clock show just about every Monday night. And that's when I was there and I was talking to real agents and real managers that I thought,
okay, oh, shit, I can do this.
I think I can do this. But still, you have this thing in your head that everybody in that business must be so much smarter than you. You know, you're just thinking, well, they must know so much more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you find out not so much, you know.
Yeah.
I remember coming up there seeing Bobby Bear.
Yeah.
When you were, that was one of his first, he called me, and it was like on a Monday. And he said, I think I've heard you say you like Bobby Bear. And I said, yeah, I really like Bobby Bear. And he said, he's up here tonight. You want to come? I said, I'll be there in 2 hours.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that was a great, you know, that was just good learning for me, negotiating deals and talking to people. And then we, Exile, now it was Exile, not the Exiles. They played Southland Bowling Lanes in a bowling alley.
I've gone past there.
Yeah, so they, Paris, yeah. They played there. No, the Terrace Room was at Eastland Bowling Lanes. That's right, where Doug Breeding played.
Yeah.
So there was two bowling alleys owned by the same guy. They both had little rooms. I mean, you go see Exile, and one door came from the outside, and the other went into the bowling alley. When they opened that one, you'd hear the pins clattering. So we used to, you know, I knew those guys, but we would run over some nights when we close our place early and catch their last set. I ended up hiring them to come to Breeding's for Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. And while they were doing that, they were trying to get a record deal. And they got a country record deal. You know, they'd already written, JP had written Take Me Down and The Closer You Get for Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Les Taylor had written It Ain't Easy Being Easy for Janie Fricke.
Wow.
So they had,
I didn't know that.
They had, cool. They had those songs, and so they ended up getting a country deal. And so in between them going on the road trying to get their records played, they would come back. And one day they, you know, said, hey, you interested in coming to work for us? And I started off as a production guy, which I didn't know jack shit about, you know, just a totally bullshit.
So you were working for Exile at that time?
Yeah. So I went on the road with them, 83, I think. And they were managed by a guy named Jim Morey, who had one of the biggest management companies in the world out of Los Angeles. But he was from, like, bumfuck Nebraska. I mean, he was from some little. Mm-hmm. And, he, you know, he would come to Lexington, or I'd see him on the road, and he'd go, what do you want to do? And I go, I want to be you. And he goes, okay, you know, just keep. And so I just hung in there, you know. You know, and that's a terrible job too. You know, being on the road, it's not, you know, it's glamorous for about maybe a year, and then it's
brutal. Yeah,
that's the thing that, you know, from the outside, not knowing anything about being on the road, is it seems like to me it would be like never knowing really where you are. It kind of like deja vu all over again type of deal, but. You know, we talk about all this and you know, there's so many common themes, and it's really a cool story what I'm hearing as far as what's led to where you are now. I mean, you could talk about hard work. I mean, that was number one. But you know, so many things probably could have happened that maybe it didn't turn out like it's turned out. What would you do, or what would the Clarence Spalding be doing now if all of these pieces of the puzzle didn't fit into play just right?
I don't know. There was a point that Ann and I had moved to Bardstown, because I was on the road all the time, and she's from Bardstown.
Okay.
So we had our daughter. We were living in Bardstown. I was so sick of the road. I mean, I missed Easters. I missed birthdays. I missed so many things. And it was just like, you know, I'm not moving. You know, we were gone 200 and some days a year.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And, you know, it's brutal. And so I had gotten in my head, I need to get out of this. This is not going to work out, and I need to move on. So my brother-in-law at the time was the head meat buyer for Kroger's. And so he said, look, I think I can get you a job. And I said, get it. Let's get it. So he called me and said, listen, I got an interview with Tyson Chicken. And wow. I said, okay. So I went to Louisville, interviewed with the guy. I think the next day he took me on. We were stocking breast of chicken, you know, doing the thing. And,
oh, shit.
And it was, you know, the pay was more than I was making on the road, a company car. I was going to be home. And I thought, you know, this could be it. But after a day of doing it, I came back home. I told Ann, I said, I got to give it one more shot.
One day.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because Ann and I sometimes will talk about it. And she's so, you know, philosophical about the whole thing. She goes, look, we wouldn't have known the difference. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have known that we were going to have this wife,
right?
And she said, and you'd probably been the best chicken salesman there was.
I never knew you worked for Tyson Foods.
I didn't go to work for him.
Oh, you didn't.
It you know, they're
kind of job shadowed for a minute, right?
Yeah, for a day.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Use the shadowing.
One day of that.
It's like we need to regroup here.
Yeah, I need to reassess my priorities here and get a different plan.
Right.
I might back up here a little bit. I remember. Clarence, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember you got exile on a Sunday afternoon to come to Marion County High School. Do you remember that? Was that one of your first things once you got in a position to be able to get them there?
Yeah, and, you know, that was Doc Howard.
We know Doc.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
Doc
mm-hmm.
was involved in that. So
mm-hmm.
any of these fiascos I'm involved in, you know, involve Doug, Doc, Noodle, anything that you could potentially go to jail for. Those three might have been somewhere around. I don't want to point. They could have been somewhere around.
That's
funny. So funny.
That's great. All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll kind of come back and wrap things up. But this is
incredible.
It's incredible. I would put it in the incredible category.
Absolutely.
And sometimes what we do on shows, we'll kind of have some rapid-fire questions where we just kind of throw some things out. I think today's a great time to have some rapid-fire questions for Clarence Spaulding and John
Absolutely.
Quincy Thompson.
We can do that.
Thomas. So we're going to do that when we come back on Two Shots in a Barrel.
Woo!
So, Jabo, I found out the older you get, the more kids, as your kids grow older, you suddenly have a damn fleet of vehicles.
And the both of us, man, we can tell you all about it. We both have brand-new 16-year-olds hitting the road. So let me tell you how often we're visiting Big Old Tires these days.
And it's important when you got your 16-year-old out on the road, you have good tires.
Oh, absolutely.
And the place to go, we know, is Big Old Tires of Lebanon and Bardstown.
That's right. Billy Taft has been doing this a long, long time. If you want advice on getting the perfect tire for the perfect vehicle, go to Billy Taft first at Big Old Tire.
And not only can they supply you with some great tires, they also can do oil changes, mm-hmm. brake work, you name it. And here's the cool thing that really impressed me when I visited Billy Taft and Big Old Tires the last time. That dude is customer service extraordinaire.
Absolutely. He's been like that as long as I've known him. I've known him a long time. He's a great guy, just like off the court than he is on the court. He's just A+, and I love that dude. He's really, really genuine, and he knows his tires. And if you're having problems, let's say this weather's crazy, okay? It's raining a bunch. go in there and let him put new windshield wipers on your car besides going and trying to do it yourself. I'm speaking by experience here, Jim Reed. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do, putting wipers on yourself.
Big believer in big old tires of Lebanon and Bardstown right here in the heart of Bourbon Country. If you're in for the Bourbon Trail, your car kind of messes up on you, go see our friend Billy Taft.
Pit stop. It's all it is. Pit stop. You're in and out and off to the next distillery.
There you go. Big old tires of Lebanon and Bardstown, a proud sponsor of Two Shots on a Barrel. All right, so one thing we've learned on Two Shots is it's important to know where to go when you need a good attorney general.
Yes, sir. It's very important nowadays. We've had to get one of our own here lately, and we got the best in the business.
We absolutely do, and we found out one morning when you go visit Don McCauley, you better enjoy bourbon and stick around for a while. Because not only is she very good and an expert attorney, she also knows her bourbon.
She does know her bourbon, and she knows where to get it, and she will not tell me where the secret stash is located. But that's okay.
But she'll bring out many of the unicorns that she has in her house, and we enjoyed spending time with her. But on a serious note, we know that folks listening out there need to have good legal representation. Don McCauley.
Don McCauley, you are right. 144 West Main Street in Lebanon, Kentucky. Her phone number is 270-692-0684. If it's legal anything, she will take care of it. She will be there for you, and she will be the voice that you need to get through this situation.
We're talking real estate law. We're talking business law. We're talking anything criminal related, divorce, you name it, bankruptcy, any of those things, Don McCauley can take care of you.
If you're nervous and you just don't know which way to go, if you need that voice, call Don McCauley. Once again, 270-692-0684.
Yeah, good stuff right here in Bourbon Country. Don McCauley, Law Office of Don McCauley. Thanks.
Marion County Trail could be the best value in bourbon-themed travel in Kentucky. You'll experience one of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail's crown jewels, one of the Bourbon Trail Craft Tour's top-rated stops, and something you can't find anywhere else. Organized tours of a bourbon barrel manufacturing facility all in one place. It's the Marion County Trail. Take your time to tour, dine, shop, and stay all along the way. Explore world-famous Maker's Mark, a hot ticket item on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, Limestone Branch Distillery, home of world-famous Yellowstone Bourbon, and one of the top-rated stops on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail Craft Tour, Kentucky Cooperage, the sprawling plant where the thriving bourbon industry's barrels are hand-built and seared with fire for bourbon-aging flavor, and Lebanon, home of wonderful dining opportunities from home-cooked to chef-driven. Unique shopping opportunities, nowhere else to be found murals for your selfies, and overnight accommodations that range from traditional to bed and breakfast to bourbon-themed. Go to visitlebanonky.com for more details. Lebanon Tourist and Convention Commission, 270-692-0021.
Tired of paying rent? Do you dream of owning your own home? Now's the time to make that dream a reality. Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Have you outgrown your current home? Need more space? Or just the opposite? Are you looking to downsize? Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Whether buying or selling, now is the time. Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Lisa Kearns Realtor, Exit Realty Bluegrass, 270-402-4036. Call or text Lisa Kearns, the helpful agent.
Hey, the Bow Brothers are back in action, and we could not do it without our good buddy Terry Woolley. And what a comeback Terry Woolley is making, J-Bo.
Hey, the little birdie told me he has a new CD coming out very soon. Possibly a Christmas album, possibly a religious album. I hope he does both.
Absolutely. And right now, he's got so many great songs out there. You can check them all out on Spotify, iTunes, you name it. You can go and get all of the music from Terry Woolley, or you can go to his website. That is terrywoolley.com. He's a great friend of Two Shots on a Barrel. We love that guy. Go check him out today.
That's right. It's terrywoolley.com.
Didn't take me long, couple years or so. Decided to make a brand new.
Two Shots on a Barrel.
I could sit here and listen to these two boys all day long.
Now I'm thinking
it's unbelievable.
Thinking we're locking the door and
yeah, just holding, shut that
we're
door.
Holding Clarence and John Quincy Thomas, that's hostage, right, man.
good stuff.
This
man.
Is I'm having a time of my life, honestly. You know, it's I can speak for myself and for John Quincy and for Clarence, three Lebanon boys just having a great time.
Just having a great time. Great time.
I mean, you know, never mind. You're an old Churchill Downs, Louisville boy that married a good Marion County girl.
That's right.
I guess we conclude you in the boys club by you did marry up.
I've been here for a while. I think I put in my time, and I can officially call myself Marion County.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think I'm about there.
All right, so we talked about, man, geez, Louise. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity brought possible by Quincy Thomas.
Thank you, sir.
Bringing Clarence to our two-shot studio. And I feel like there could be episode 2, 3, 4, and 5, and this is a one-shot Johnny, though. But so I'm a little hesitant to want to do rapid-fire, but I think it would be a very cool part of this whole show that we've done.
Right. Did you come up with questions already? Because I was unaware we were going to do rapid-fire.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can pull some stuff out.
No.
This All right, here we go.
I mean, I've got a shared list.
I'm good. I'll do better off the cuff.
All right, so this isn't an attempt to kind of learn some things about Clarence, and we'll throw some of these out to Quincy, too, because, you know, hey.
Don't make them too hard.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so you've been doing this a long time, and off the air you've told us a lot of your success stories, but have you ever been fired by an artist?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell us. Hey, that's a great question.
Hey, that's great. Listen. That's all I got for you.
That's awesome. I can tell you, yes, I have, and it was a female. How about that?
All right.
That's all you're going to get.
Next question, please.
By the way, I fired somebody. I fired an act.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Big time act.
Big time. He said, my partner at the time, after I fired him, he said, I have never seen anybody so happy to lose $600,000 in my life. And I looked at him, and I hated this artist so bad. And I looked at him, I said, man, I will dig a ditch in the middle of 16th Avenue naked before I ever manage that son of a bitch again.
That's great. All right. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Early bird. You get that from, is your mom or dad, was your mom?
I think I'm like most people, you know, growing up, I was a night owl.
Yeah.
And now it's more of, I just wake up, you know, I wish I could sleep in, but I wake up.
What's a typical morning for Clarence Spalding?
I get up early, and you're not going to believe this, but I box.
Really?
I train.
Like, you don't want to mess with your friend, Quincy Thomas.
I train like a boxer.
You've been doing it a while.
4 days a week.
Wow.
So I went to this class, and first of all, I'm 65 years old, so this is like 3 or 4 years ago, and I called this guy. Every January, coming out of December, I try to find something I can do that's new. One year I did Spanish. One year I'd never played chess. I'd learned chess. So I learned there's a system in Nashville, guitar music called the number system. Only Nashville musicians use it. So as opposed to looking at a note, they'll call it a 1, a 5, a 4. So 1 year I learned that.
Wow.
So this year I was going to go to this boxing class. Just I thought it would be classes. And when I finished it, the guy said, you know, if you're really interested, you should let me train you like a boxer. And I go, well, what's that like? And he goes, I train Golden Gloves boxers. I'll train you just like that. So I go in at 7, whatever, and I do 3 minutes of jump rope, 30-second break, 3 minutes of jump rope, 30-second break, 3 minutes of jump rope, 9 minutes of shadow boxing, different ways of shadow boxing, and I get my hands wrapped, and I put my gloves on, and he and I do different kind of drills. And
wow.
Once a week, I spar. I wear the headgear.
Are you serious?
Yeah, mouthpiece.
And you take hits?
Take hits, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, you want to remember your childhood? Just get smacked on the goddamn nose. And all of a sudden, the whole childhood comes back. Well, now I remember that. That hurts so damn bad. That is the truth. So, I do that.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I'm – I'm the oldest one in there, so I have a blast. You know, they're all like, you know, I think they're a little bit in awe of me that I come in 4 days a week, and you know, it just kind of gives me something. First of all, when you box serious boxing, and I don't want to call myself a serious boxer, but I train like a serious boxer. Mm-hmm. There is so much to it that you don't think about. You know, and just the, you know, a one's a jab and a two's a cross and a three and a four and a five and a six. And when they're sitting there with these pads on their hands and they're calling out those shots to you, one, four, five, six. And you're trying to do them as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. So your brain's got to work. You know, it can't mm-hmm. be just hitting. It's right. your mm-hmm. brain has to go, mm-hmm. okay, that's what that is. And some days you really, really get it. And other days, I came back from the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I got home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and I got up the next morning, went to boxing. Well, hell, I couldn't tell a one from a four. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I just look at my trainer like, I don't think I've got it today, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Gracious. Did you know that he did that?
Yeah, I knew he boxed. I didn't know he – I just thought he did, you know, exercise.
Right, right.
And my son Aaron, he fought in a thing called the Rumble on the Road. It's only for music business people, and they raise money for charity. And they train for 3 months. And then they get in there and go at it. And he got beat. But, man, it was a good fight. But it was, like, brutal.
Awesome. All right, which is a perfect segue. You've talked about your wife a lot. Uh-huh. Nelson County gal, right? Tell us about your family.
I got three younger brothers. Steven lives here. Retired Joe lives here with his wife Judy Steven, with his wife Martha. My brother Kenny lives in Lexington. And then, you know, all of Ann's family lives in Bargetown, but there's a Lebanon connection there because Johnny, Ann's brother, is married to Debbie George, Haleem's youngest daughter, Dr. Salem's sister.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You got how many kiddos?
I have two. I have Emily. I got a set of twin granddaughters.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I live a blessed life, you know. So.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Now, what's your favorite genre of music? I know you're in the country feel, but sometimes you know, like other things.
I probably listen to more old R&B than I listen to anything. I thought about it coming up here because I had a Spotify channel on, and Al Green just kept coming up.
Love Al.
So it was like, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what, you know, when we grew up, that was all that stuff was. And, you know, I've been lucky. I got to meet Lionel Richie, and I got to hang with Lionel Richie for two full days.
Wow.
And, you know, I grew up on the Commodores, and he would tell these fantastic stories of the Commodores, and you just sit there with your mouth open going,
mm-hmm.
really? Oh, yeah.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, it was fun.
Can't imagine. All right, continuing with the rapid-fire theme here, class of 1975, a couple teachers, one that stand out in your mind.
Sister Joseph Marion.
Why?
And she was our speech teacher, and she was the head of the drama club. So any plays that were put on, she was in charge of them. So I was such a great actor that I got to do lights. they put me in charge of lights. we put on Fiddler on the Roof one year.
Man.
And Rodney Lanham was the lead, and I can't think of the name. And then Roxanne
King
was the female lead.
Mm-hmm.
My God, they were fantastic. I mean, I still can just sit there because, you know, you went through so many rehearsals.
Yeah.
You knew. So I was like, Johnny Bob the hat maker or something, you know. I got to go out one time and come back, and then I would do the lights. That's when I knew I wasn't going to be an actor.
I thought Quincy was going to fall out of his seat when he said he's such a good actor.
I knew what was coming.
Sister Joseph married. She knew. She knew I got to give this kid something else to do.
One of our highlights, talking about school, we were both in the same journalism class, Lynn D. Ferris. One of our
legend in Marion County, right?
Jobs that we love to do, though, we would put out the paper once a month or whatever, and we got to go down to the junior highs and sell them. We'd jump in Clarence's old brown
67 Chevelle, yeah.
And we would go to those junior highs, and buddy, we was able to stop and, you know, get you a pop or a candy bar and go in those schools and sell those. And I'm telling you what, I thought I was a hot shot doing that.
Lynn, he threw me out of his class. So he gave me, like, you're going to be the sports editor. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm
the sports editor. Got it. Okay.
And I went to, when I went to UK, that's, I ended up getting a major in journalism and communication. So, and so when I did that job, and then I got the same grade for being, and so I went to him and I said, this is totally unfair that I did this job. And all he said was, get out. Get out.
Did y'all hear him saying that?
Yeah, so I had to go down to the principal's office and go, I got thrown out. And she goes, why? And I explained to her why. And she, it didn't do any good. I was out.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Isn't that
funny?
That is so dang on funny.
Taught me a lesson.
So what's the next step? What's the next big step for you? You looking for a new artist, or are you looking to...
No. I got the ones I got, and I love them, and I got three little, I call them baby acts. They're not really babies, but I got a kid named Elvy Shane who had a song called My Boy, and he's from Caneyville. And then I've got a young female named Rachel Womack, and I've got a young guy named John Morgan. John co-wrote If I Didn't Love You, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood's big number one.
Oh, yeah, that's Jeez, good.
So he co-wrote that. So I've got them, and, you know, they're just – it's hard work with young acts, and it's hard work with big acts. And so, you know, I'm just trying to keep them – all engaged, you know. I hate doing the same thing over and over, and so we really try with Kicks and Ronnie. You know, they're more like me. They're kind of carnies. They'll try stuff, and Reba, you know, she's such a huge star that it's, you know, we do a tour and then we do a movie and then we do something else. So, you know, we just try to look out 4 or 5 years and go, What do we want? We have to plan. We have to really be in planning mode with those acts to, you know, to really stay creative. With Jason, you know, he's hot and he's touring. And plus, he's got a young family. So when, you know, artists have young families, you're trying to – I don't want them to ever be what I had to do.
Right.
So we look at birthdays and spring breaks and Easters and all that, and they'll go, I'll work that. And I go, no, you won't. No, you won't.
Do you ever really think about it for a second? I mean, Jason Aldean is talked about you being the guy that really saved him with respect to his career and made him into what we all know as Jason today. I mean, that just seems like, geez. I mean,
it seems like total bullshit. I wouldn't take that damn bait for anything. You know, I think what happens is sometimes you allow them to figure it out, you know, just by, I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the bar, and I say this a lot, the bar sometimes gets low. And it's up to me to go, hey, why? We wouldn't have put that song on the first album.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on number 10. Why would that piece of shit make it now?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't. Sure. But sometimes you get We all get lazy. Yep. I can be lazy just like the other one. Every now and then I got to think to myself, I got to raise the bar back up here, buddy.
Wow.
And so I think that is, you know, something that I'm really good at is getting them off by themselves and having a conversation with them. Jason says it's like getting called to the principal. He says, "Oh, what now?" You know, but you know, like I tell him, I'm never mean spirited. And when we come out the other side of those conversations, whether it's with Reba, Kix, and Ronnie, the Flats, you know, Darius, whoever, it's, you know, hopefully that we're all got a better plan and a clearer vision of what we want to do moving forward, not just phoning it in because you're famous.
Yeah.
Clarence, I've never asked you this question before. Do you and our old buddy Trent Klutz, Bill Cody, paths ever cross in Nashville?
All the time.
Oh, really?
All the time. I mean, I could not be more proud of, you know, it's him and Mark Horton,
yes,
John Anthony.
Absolutely.
And so I run into them a lot. Trent, especially, because he's host the Opry, and I've got three artists who are Opry members, so I tend to be out there some, and we get to hang out and, you know, laugh, and he'll call me, or I'll call him, and we'll just, you know, it's just old Lebanon.
Yeah, how cool. I mean, and that's one of the things we could also talk about today is you think about Lebanon, and you think about the players in country music, and Clarence Spalding, and Mark Horton or John Anthony, as he's, you know, known with Kenny Chesney. And then, of course, Bill Cody. And so many others that kind of got their start.
Yeah. Tony Conway, whose brother owns Conway Heaton over in Bargetown.
Yeah.
Tony forever was one of the biggest players in Nashville. He was president of a company called Buddy Lee Attractions.
I've heard of Buddy Lee Attractions.
Tony was there. Tony, at one time, has had the Chicks, Garth, George Strait, Willie Nelson. He's represented the as an agent, some of the biggest acts in the business.
Wow.
So, you know, you run through people, you know, and they'll go, "Oh, I'm from so and so," and "I'm from Lebanon." And they go, "Really?
Yeah, really? Yeah."
Mark Horton was the program director at a big station in Washington, D.C. Now, Mark's a lot younger than I am, so I kind of knew him, but I didn't really know him. And one of my friends who was running a record label was in D.C. with one of his acts, and he came back, and I ran into him. He goes, "I ran into your cousin." And I'm like, "Who?" And he goes, "John Anthony." And I'm going, "Okay, great. How was he?" You know, so I called Mark and I said, "Why'd you tell him I was your cousin? You know, I don't know anybody else in Nashville, so I gave him your name."
That's funny. That is so cool.
But he's kind of, you know, he's not my Uncle Jim's wife is his mother's sister. So
I knew there was some kind of connection.
I guess by Lebanon standards, that's a cousin.
I mean, we're all cousins, if we're from this neck of the woods. I found out a few months ago. I may have told you, Quincy, about it, that I'm actually kin to some of the Spaldings, like seven times removed, like the original founders of Calvary. And I'll take it, man. I'll be a cousin of the Spaldings. I'm okay with that.
Nothing wrong with Calvary blood.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, we both have family that's tied into the George family, so I guess that we're cousins, too.
Yeah, we're all damn cousins.
It's like living in Beirut.
That's right. Oh, geez, Louise. Man, I tell you, again, as we approach kind of the closing of the show, Quincy, I appreciate you reaching out to your good friend Clarence. When I think about Hall of Fame, and I was thinking about it, all right, monuments of Marion County or Hall of Fame members of Marion County, Clarence is right there. I mean,
well, you are on the, what is this, Kentucky Hall of Fame music Hall of Fame or something?
Yeah.
Once again, it's the bar got lowered.
I didn't think
you allow that bar to go so far down, people like me slip in there.
you remember what he said, what Clarence said earlier in the show, Jeremy talking about Jason Aldean? You remember what he said? Something about this sounds like a lot of bullshit or something? That sounds like a lot of bullshit because this dude is a Hall of Famer.
So I got an award one time, and it was a Living Legend Award, and they surprised me.
Was that the Bob Kingsley?
Bob Kingsley. Yeah. And so they surprised me, told me I was going out to the Opry to do an interview with CBS This Morning. And I should have known. You know, CBS This Morning wanted me. So that's when your ego gets in the way. You go, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. And I was supposed to get on a plane with Reba and go to New York. And so I went out there, but they gave me this award. And I was somebody called me and said, well, God damn. Living legend. He said, hell, you're damn sure not a legend and you're barely living. And I thought, that's what keeps me humble. Right? Just as soon as I start stepping up a little bit, I got somebody just to wipe my nose. you're not that big.
Yeah, that's funny, awesome. Man. Well, we're no matter how big you get, Clarence, we're always gonna call you a Lebanon boy.
I love that.
You know, and there's no place like home.
Yeah.
And we're the one common thing, Quincy, that you and I have is that we get to be like this guy. We're from this great community that is Lebanon and Marion County. Yeah. I know you're a proud Marion County guy.
I sure am.
Yeah.
I've lived here my whole life, never moved away, and I love Lebanon.
Yeah.
And Marion County.
Yeah.
And it loves you too. We love you guys.
I don't know about that, but anyway, I love
you. I promise you. I promise you. Thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
we you. We appreciate you. Really do. And good luck with your everything that's going to come your way.
Okay. Thank you.
Because it's good stuff.
Now that you know where we are, you can come back anytime.
Call me back anytime.
Yeah. Got it.
I'll come back and do it.
We appreciate you. All right, that's going to do it for today's Two Shots on a Barrel. We got so many new shows coming down the path.
We're
booking shows all the time. So you're going to want to make sure you listen in to Two Shots. Click that like button so that you've got that subscribe going on, and you'll be able to, every time we release a show, you're going to know it's out there. All right, so for Clarence Spaulding, John Quincy Thomas, for my man J-Bo.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you next time on Two Shots on the Barrel.